My name's Kim Kischel. I'm a product marketing manager out of the Redmond office, and that's my colleague and teammate, Michael Cobbs. We are on the IT Pro Readiness team within the office group at Microsoft. So we're basically in charge of everything related to IT Pro Readiness, organizing these amazing events, making sure that you guys as IT pros have all of the content that you need to manage Office 365, to know what's coming to the service, what we're working on, and pretty much be on top of your game. And what we want to do in this session is give you kind of an insight on some of the trends that we've seen in the industry in terms of companies who've moved to the cloud and the challenges they were facing and the changes they had to make as part of making that move to the cloud within their internal IT. And to make sure that you know this isn't a marketing message that we're trying to get across, where do we get all that data? So what we actually did and what all of this session is based on are interviews with you guys, with customers, with IT departments from customers of all different sizes. We talked to more than 600 IT pros, either in one-on-one interviews, over the phone, in person, and we even did some focus groups in the US and in Europe. So we really wanted to make sure that we got a broad, broad sense of really different company sizes, et cetera. And just to give you an example, we really went cross-industry, different titles. So you have management within IT. You really have the IT implementers, the people who are actually doing the job, right? Locations, a lot of US, but we totally have everyone in Europe and other parts of the world included. Different sizes of companies as well, right? Smaller companies usually mean smaller IT departments, so they face different challenges than bigger companies do. And mostly all customers, or that we took as an example, and what the study also was based on, they already have Office 365. But they also use a lot of other services, and the cloud products, these are just the main products they use. That doesn't mean that's everything. Those are just the main ones that they basically use. And this is just a really, really small sample to give you an idea on how cross-customer we were in making and collecting the data. So what I want to start with is kind of introduce you to the model of cloud maturity. Basically, what that means is how far advanced is the company within their cloud journey, right? How many products have they already adopted? And we basically split that up into three categories. A company in a low maturity state, pretty much meaning they're scratching the surface. They've maybe adopted a single service, whether that's Office 365 or another cloud service. Medium mature companies, 3 to 4 cloud products is kind of the definition of those companies. And then high, 5 and above. Those companies really have made a full transition within this model, go cross-product, and are really focusing to outsource as much as they can to the cloud. In terms of profile, so mostly enterprise is what we see today in the low and medium sector. Enterprises, because the IT department is larger, the customer, the end user base is obviously also larger. So we currently see them mostly in the low and medium state, which doesn't obviously apply to all, but that's just a majority of what we've seen. And then within the high state, here we see a lot of mid-market companies as well, right? They have very, they need to be more agile. They don't have as big of IT departments, so they actually can leverage the cloud to be able to use their resources much more effectively. And in terms of philosophy, so what we mean by that is kind of systems orientation versus DevOps, right? And we're going to go into detail a little bit later to explain exactly what we mean by that. But low maturity companies, these are still very traditional companies in terms of their philosophy, very systems oriented in that sense. And as you basically move along the maturity phase, you see that they have to become more agile, move more into the model of DevOps in how they run their IT department because they have to react faster and they have to, execute on very different things. So they become very, they also become very agile oriented and use the DevOps approach. Create an initiative. So that's basically what are these companies concerned with? And a common denominator that goes really across any state is security. Cloud is something that you don't control as much as if you have a server under your in your basement or in your desk, because it's a very standardized service. So security is always top of mind, no matter what state you're in the cloud maturity phase. And then application development in the early stages, basically meaning all of my line of business apps, what do I have to do? Do I have to change the way I start developing internal apps now? That becomes very, very important at the early stages when you're making that initial transition to the cloud. In the medium stage, what we're seeing, what a lot of companies, and I almost want to say struggling with, is end user adoption. So you've gotten all these great services, you've outsourced so much, and with Office 365 as an example, you've all of a sudden gotten so many more things that end users can use and can work with, but it's sometimes really hard to tell them, to match them to the right people, to the right departments, so we end up seeing that a lot of it really isn't used, and end user adoption is just really, really critical in that specific stage. And then I think the last thing that I want to hit on in this on this slide is the key challenges. So in the low maturity state, what we see is a lot of skill gaps. Making the initial transition to the cloud means a lot changes for IT. The things that you can manage are different. The things, how you have to manage them is very different. And if we look at where the decision was made, it wasn't usually the guys who will end up doing everything, right? So you have to change the skills that you have, and you really, so that becomes a very, very big thing in the very beginning of moving to the cloud. Aligned with BDMs, that kind of goes hand in hand with the end user adoption, right? All of your business units need to be aware of what's there all of a sudden for the end users to adopt it. So all of a sudden, you have to align with all these business units to make sure that the services that are now available are also being used. And then once you're in that high maturity state, org structure all of a sudden becomes important. And we're going to go into detail a little bit later on what that means and kind of the examples of shifts that we've seen to bring that a little bit closer. And this is just an example of the products that we see across high cloud maturity companies. They're usually using an average of 6 products as of now on top of Office 365, right? So we don't have that on the slide right here. So it's usually Office 365 and then with a combination of various of these products. And depending on how familiar you are with Office 365, if you look at Dropbox, OneDrive is the same exact thing. Salesforce, well, we have something, we have CRM, which kind of is a direct competitor here. So it's really a matter of not a single vendor, and sometimes it's even, I'm going to have duplicates of something that could do the same exact thing with an Office 365, but because maybe I had that earlier, or end users chose to do that, we see a lot of doubling up. But what I do want to make sure is that you know, if you have Azure ID, you can manage all of these products with a single identity, nonetheless. Even though they're not Microsoft products, you can use Azure ID to manage all of them and create a single sign-on experience.
Really quick, you said you didn't mind if I interrupted.
I don't.
I assume this is on. How many, I just want to poll the audience to get a good idea of where you're at. How many of you are using, let's say, 5 or more different cloud providers out there? All right, how many are using less than 5? Okay, it's about 50-50 split, and that's extremely interesting. And I'll ask some questions a little later, I imagine, of the low, medium, high. We anticipated having a blend of those folks in the room, and I think we have something of value for each of you, whether you consider yourself on the low end, middle, or high, and we'll get to that in a few minutes.
All right, so this might not be something super new, but I want to quickly run through this. So these are the main reasons that in our research we've seen of why companies actually end up moving to the cloud. Number one being, I need to reduce IT spend. So that's a purely IT-made decision, not because the business said this is going to be a great reason to do it, really because we wanted to reduce software, hardware, standardize across everything, you know, outsource all of that hosting on your own, really being the main reason. Second came in enhancing end-user productivity, right? Being always up to date, being able to really keep up with all of the new functionalities that end users need or requesting, and really giving them tools to work much more productively and efficiently. And then coming in third, building a foundation for the digital business. That's nothing new. We all know now that the internet is a thing, that digital is a thing, and some companies that were lacking behind just needed to move to the cloud to make a first step. And whether that's Office 365 or a single small product, but pretty much everyone has now recognized that they need to move their business to a digital state, and moving to the cloud is often one way of achieving that. So what we also saw is that customers are buying Office 365 primarily for IT-related reasons. So this slide is kind of split up into the top, little lighter part. These are all IT questions that we ask, right? Whether that's reducing overall costs or your overall IT strategy was moving to the cloud just because everybody else was, right? So we thought we had to, too. And then the bottom part, these are business-related reasons. Enabling workers to communicate and collaborate better is pretty much the only one that we saw at least got a lot of traction across the customers that we interviewed. Everything else really dropped from there. So you can really see that most of the decisions are still made purely by IT, not by the business saying, we need more capability, but IT saying, this is what everyone's doing. The cloud is a great way for us to achieve much more, to outsource the right things and focus on our IT strategy more than, updating every single day and patching and all of that stuff. But what that pretty much led to, or leads to in a lot of companies, is that they really limit the portions of what they use of Office 365 within those companies. And what you can see here is low utilization, mid, heavy, and full. And you can see the split in terms of how much the IT goals played a role and how much the business goals played a role. And if you look at full work utilization, that means all of the workloads that are available in Office 365 are actually being used by users. And you as an IT admin can check, what's being used by users, how much the consumption level really is. You can take a look at that. So the more the business goal played a role, the more it's really also being used and leveraged by your company, making use of that asset that you bought and making sure that it really does come to the business.
And I'll add, if you look at the quotes, we put these in there. We think they're very interesting because we all know typically for Office 365 and in the cloud for most companies, email is the gateway. And replacing an on-prem Exchange server is the gateway to getting to the cloud. And certainly on the quote you see on the left, that was their main requirement. That was the primary driver. And then what we're seeing a lot as a trend with most of our cloud or companies on their cloud journey is the main goal, replacing in-house Exchange. And then, as we all know, that's the first step, and that leads to other opportunities. That leads to basically solving that problem, and then IT is faced with this challenge of, we solved our Exchange problem, now what do we do next? That's when we light up SharePoint, that's when we light up Skype for Business, and so we'll dive a little deep into, how do you go from that reactive IT, we solved that one problem, we're in the cloud and now everything's fine, too. How do we turn everything on? How do we start using all the capabilities of Office 365 and become that high-performing cloud company?
And to pretty much support that same exact thing that we just said, this is an overview kind of on what we're, how much is that specific workload within Office 365 used and kind of what were the reasons. Or why it's not being used by the companies. And the line in blue that you see highlighted there is because IT is saying, we don't have a business need for it. My business never told me they needed it, so I never enabled it for them, right? Because IT, in the traditional sense, is often not directly aligned with the individual business units, talking to finance, talking to sales. So as long as the business doesn't come to IT and says, this is exactly what I need, they're not going to enable it. But then in turn, if they're not aware of everything that's already available within Office 365 and that the company already owns, they're not going to let you know. They're going to try to find a solution on their own, and that might not necessarily be what you already own, right? And that's where we kind of come in with all of these different five or six plus products that a company owns that are direct substitutes of somebody, of something that you already own. And this overall, pretty much leads to the fact that when companies shift to the cloud, and by this I mean the reason being, hey, we need to change our IT landscape, that they're faced with a lot of challenges. Some of them being the lack of technical skills, which is completely normal, right? New technologies require new technical skills. And if the decision is made higher up by management, or maybe it's even a strategic decision, it's going to take some time until IT keeps up, right? They can't expect you from day one to switch on all these new skills. And then all of a sudden, if the business need is something important and it requires more soft skills, which IT has traditionally not carried out on so much in the past, that's all of a sudden a gap as well. Collaboration channels that are now reinventing cloud services that are targeting toward the user, and they're more so via the bottoms-up approach, right? Business coming in saying, I bought this product, IT make sure that I can use it. So this is a very reactive approach that IT now has to deal with. And this is just really reiterating on that. 31% of the companies that we interviewed said they strongly disagree that they are staffed to support Office 365, which makes perfect sense, right? It's an entirely new suite, and it's not just a single product. It's now everything within one cloud service, and a lot of new services become available all of a sudden. Not everybody had SharePoint before. You probably did have a mail service before, but there's a lot of add-ons that now come with Office 365, the new security model, the identity piece that's brand new to most companies that make that move. And then PowerShell. PowerShell is essential to managing a lot of the services within Office 365, whether that's identity, whether enabling a lot of these things. And here's another great quote that we had from one of my customers that basically said, hey, I was the only one and who knew PowerShell before, so I kind of had to do everything. And yes, of course, I could have taught all of my colleagues, but it would have just been easier if there was a GUI for it. But PowerShell is one of the exemplary skill gaps that we see with a lot of customers. And this little graph that we have in there was just pretty much, did you feel prepared with our current staff? And you could see that the bigger the company, the less prepared they felt, which is just something that we saw overall. So next up, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into kind of the personas that we see within IT and how they're shifting and how organizations are shifting as a whole.
And that's me. Yeah, so like Kim said, let's dive deeper into this great research that we did and feedback from customers on the transformation that takes place amongst IT pros and IT leaders. We're going to profile both of them. If you want to learn more about transformation within IT, I know of a very sophisticated publication. You can grab it on your way in. I wouldn't call it too sophisticated, but it is the theme of this fun comic book is transformation among IT. It's something we're really driving. It's something we know based on this research that customers are challenged with. So first we profiled IT decision makers. I won't ask how many IT decision makers are in the room. I think when we have you sign up for Microsoft Ignite, you choose whether you're an IT implementer, an influencer, an enterprise dev, or an IT decision maker. But we've basically, think of these as the far left and the far right of leadership roles. So we have the true believer that we're going to profile. And I would say that any of the decision makers in the room, you probably fall somewhere in between here. But the true believer, they love technology and are proactively, reaching out and, reaching out to various vendors, trialing, implementing, proof of concepting new technologies, stay current with the latest technologies, and know the industry, VMware, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and really where we are positioned in the industry. And constantly looking for companies that that can support that, right? Or have that outsourcing mentality, bringing in help with these strategic initiatives. And they're sold on the cloud. You know, they're already there. And then top-down reactors is what we call, you know, more of the, you know, the I would say, you know, in thinking of cloud terms, falling behind this cloud trend for various reasons. Typically, they get their advice from peers, peer influence. They might be part of a group of slow adopters. Typically, there's certain obstacles like security, compliance, privacy that might stop them, and that could be vertical specific, and it's really a top down approach. So, you know, they basically are, you know, waiting to hear about a solution, and then they're, you know, they're bringing it up to their leadership. You know, once they make this conservative choice and directing, giving that solution down to the rest of the company. Concerned about loss of control and concerned about depending on a vendor heavily. Those are common traits. And concerned about changing staff. Do I have to lose staff because I went to the cloud? And or, gosh, we're going to have to retrain everybody. These are kind of some expected obstacles there. And just for some examples at the bottom, we're talking about deployment, their role in deployment. And this is all based on our survey questions. Executive sponsor at times, 27% manage, they're directly managing that team responsible for the deployment, and 43% involved with the deployment. So that is, and that's across the board, both the true believer and the top-down reactor. And so if we go to ITIs, and I would say a majority based on who's signing up for this event, a majority of the people in attendance here we would call IT implementer and influencers or ITIs. We have the geeky go-getters. Those are the cloud first, extremely interested in Office 365 or any cloud technology, very involved with community, love to come to events, so probably have a lot of geeky go-getters in the room, and they like, they're just very excited about learning new technologies and like to find opportunities that gets them recognition, right? Puts them in the limelight. And remember, this is feedback we got from our customers. That's that, or from our customer ITIs. That's what they like. And then we have the, we all know this person. There might be some on-prem diehards in the room. I won't ask you if you are. I remember getting questions on, because my role extends beyond, you know, studying this. We do a lot of content planning for Ignite. But, we had a lot of posts, well, I want on-prem sessions. I work on servers. We're not moving to the cloud. Does that mean, you know, is Microsoft leaving me behind? Everything I see is about the cloud. And we say, well, that's what we're marketing. That's what we're pushing. That's where we see the future is. But if you do a search for servers and you do a search for on-premises in your MyIgnite tool, you will see, I think, you know, over 400 sessions that talk about on-premises. A lot of them talk about hybrid cloud, which we're very strong. But these on-prem diehards, they prefer the control over their environment and really value their ability to troubleshoot. And again, just like their counterpart in leadership, are concerned about handing over control. So we've established the roles that we're playing this. Let's put them on a grid and just kind of talk about the transitions that we're seeing. First, you know, the left to right transition, this is, you know, pretty obvious, something that, you know, most of us have been dealing with probably for the past 5-7 years, going from, IT first, we call this a traditional IT environment. Really, IT is just on an island, right? It's separate from all the business groups, technical operations, prioritization of projects based on the technical value, decided on within IT. I can remember back when I was in IT, this was very similar to the organization I was in. And, you know, we had a, you know, we were the grumpy IT guys that didn't really interface with the business, but really loved what we were doing. And we had a, certainly had an excellent time doing it. And then on the far right, business first, and that's the transition. And in essence, this is what we really want to convey. This is what the customers conveyed to us, is just a whole new way of looking at things for IT. And we'll share, you know, bullet by bullet what those characteristics are, and hopefully you can take those home with you. But it's a partnership with the business side. And in measuring, doing business metrics, rolling out solutions, and being held accountable after the solution is rolled out, right? That's the role of all these customers that have moved successfully to the cloud, all the customer IT departments. And the prioritization now is on business impact. You know, less emphasis on the technology, what's the business impact? And it's just a more analytical way of thinking. And so if we want to look at the vertical axis, this isn't, this one's not more of a, okay, you know, the traditional IT is going to make a transition one way or the other. Both of these have a place. And Kim mentioned DevOps earlier, and at the top we have system architecture and service center. And these are the type of, IT roles that we're seeing out there in IT kind of philosophies, IT strategies. If you're a systems architecture and service center focused, basically you like the cost savings of the cloud, you like standardization, you want to reduce technologies, get everyone on the same platform. So I would say our IT pros that are solely involved with Office 365, they love the fact that they're going to standardize every computer, every user on Office 365 the same, you know, and create the same policies that apply to everyone, and really discourage other tools, other solutions. And so we're seeing a lot of that. A lot of IT roles go in that system center and service systems architecture and service center type role. And then something that is pretty new to cloud is the DevOps. The DevOps focus, and that's agility, flexibility, quick moving, right? Adding new tools as they come up. We're less concerned about the integration of these tools and standardizing, but you have business challenges out there and you're gonna solve them. You're gonna go out, purchase some new tools and treat these different projects on their own. And there's a huge need for that type of person now, because we're in a new world. Kim showed you the slide earlier with all the different cloud providers out there that companies are using. That's more of a DevOps approach. Maybe we have six and they don't talk to each other and they're for different business units. They came up at different times because we had different projects that needed them. So those are the two that we're seeing. And I put that slide just to reference back to what Kim talked about, or I put that image in there, of all the different, just to remind us that all the different cloud solutions a lot of us are using. So where do those roles that we defined a bit earlier fall? If we look at the ITDM, of course, the true believer, the cloud first, they're on their way, on their journey to that business first strategy within their IT organization. They're taking steps to interface with the business and be more strategic and focus on business challenges when making decisions in IT. They have a strong focus, and they didn't choose we're going to be systems architecture, we're going to be DevOps. It could be either, right? And it's going to vary by organization. But I would say definitely if you're going to be on the cutting edge, you're going to go to the cloud, you're going to evaluate multiple cloud solutions, you have to have that DevOps perspective so you can spin up and solve problems quickly. If we just get caught up in the systems architecture and service center methodology, then sometimes we just can't get things done. We're trying too hard to get everything to work together and standardize. But those are so it's a blend of the two. Those are the characteristics. And then, we say just taking orders on the slide. but the, I think we call them the reactor, top-down reactor, and basically just that slow mindset, slow to adopt that dev, you know, DevOps mindset and culture, and our and what that leads to is, and I think this slide does a good job of pointing this out. They lose their foothold as leaders because what happens in most organizations, leadership, you know, basically won't sponsor these projects to roll out solutions, you know, cloud solutions for the entire company, and then you get some shadow IT going on, or you get different groups buying their own and just saying, you know, we're not going to go through IT. We're going to go out and get, you know, 15 Dropbox accounts and just roll this out, and we're going to manage it. And then when IT comes around, all right, we're going to move to the cloud. You have a problem that you have to solve, right? And so that those are the risks of being on the far left. And that was ITDM, or the leaders. If we look at the ITIs, basically they can go in, you know, to have that business first mentality, right? It's, you know, the leaders need to interface with the business, but there's also tremendous opportunity for the, you know, the IT pros out there, the you know, someone in a non-management position to align with that strategy. And if you have a leader that is reluctant to lead that effort, right, to work with leadership, work with different business groups, and, you know, and push, whether it's your systems architecture, hey, I want to get everyone to Office 365. I think we should standardize. Look how easy it is to roll out Office to every, you know, every user and give them the exact same environment. Or on the DevOps side, hey, I know of all these different tools to, you know, sales as a problem, you know, engineering as a problem, HR as a problem, and we have this rich tool set that I can get to you next week to solve this problem, right? And those are, you know, those are the type of IT pros out there that are having success right now. And then, of course, on the far left, we have the, you know, the on-prem diehard that doesn't really fit into this cloud transition model. Certainly, we all know there is still a place for the, you know, in certain scenarios for that on-prem expert, you know, probably more around like certain line of business type services running on premises that will remain running on premises. So the three dominant structures or dominant trends that we're seeing with organizations that have restructured since shifting to the cloud, what did they do? How did they change? Just to, you know, make it real simple, customer-centric, IT. So they shifted their focus, and you know, we're getting away from, you know, the angry. I don't know if you ever seen the show IT Crowd, and you know, the user calls IT and he has a recording of a voice saying telling them to reboot their computer so he doesn't have to answer the phone. You know, that's the extreme, but more of a, you know, users are our customers, and we're a customer service organization, and we're you know, tracking our success in managing our customer, and that's a key metric for us. That's the trend we're seeing from these cloud first companies. Decentralized IT, that is basically they're restructuring IT. You know, you have the siloed IT department, IT director, IT manager, different IT groups. We're seeing roles pop up outside of that structure, right? Whether it is, and we'll talk about this shortly, whether that's a new IT strategy role, whether it is the dotted line to IT, but the IT resource reports under the business unit. These are real positions that are popping up that companies are, they're changing and creating these to have that more customer-centric environment in their organization. And then the strategic steering arm, basically, I kind of mentioned this in the last one, but adding or the elevation of a strategy team or role within the IT organization. So basically creating a role that can have impact at the C-level on the business side, right? That has a seat at the table, that can do research, can make recommendations to IT, but is not within IT. That's an IT strategy role. That's a real role that we're seeing popping up. Some of you out there may have that role, but that's, you know, we have some interesting quotes from customers saying these are roles that they're creating. So if we dive deep into each one, I mentioned a lot of these points. There's some good quotes in this deck that will, of course, be available after the session. You know, the way technology is headed, the days of I'm a nerd are numbered. Right? That's a direct quote from a customer. And basically, you know, they've decided that a characteristic they need within their IT employees is they should have empathy for users, understanding, and you know, and a high importance on those soft skills. And you know, most of us would probably say, yeah, it's, you know, that's definitely something we need more of in our IT. Our customers that we interviewed for this certainly confirm that, and
that's also the most common model that we see. And you've probably heard it before, saying IT needs to become a services-oriented organization, right? It's not about just making the products available, and then whenever you call me, I'm going to react to whatever's happening, but really being proactive, being that service to the entire business unit to enable them to do their work more effectively, more efficiently, and really use all the tools that you already have available. And really being customer-centric, understanding what they do, right? Being at service for the rest of the business rather than just reacting.
And here on the chart, basically, and this is a transition a lot of organizations go through. I'd say traditional IT, you don't have the, you know, you might not have the outsourced or external vendors, right? But now that we're adding that layer, IT's kind of shifting to doing that work, to brokering that work, and working with the vendors and translating that to an experience for the users. Decentralized IT, I'm going to go quick on this because I want to get to our great guest, our surprise guest that we have. And here, these are just some examples of moving IT folks, IT workers into the business units, right? And that's you know, those are certainly, it was a common trend in, amongst these cloud-first organizations, and to really succeed in that, you know, customer-centric, customer-first, customers being the users of the company, and then dotted line back to IT. And then, of course, the strategic arm here, you see the old, the traditional model, the IT org, and then on the right, a strategy team. And that strategy, making recommendations to the CIO, really understanding the industry, having a seat at the table with maybe not the C levels, but really understanding the business, sitting down with every business using and really unit and really understanding their problems. Here, just a few facts we have about kind of more on the strategy role. As you can see, the opportunity here is for you know, a lot of IT leaders to have this business-focused, you know, strategic understanding. Understanding the, you know, more of the business problems and then recommending technology solutions, having that mindset leads to career advancement, leads to having a seat at the C-level, having a seat on the leadership team or board when decisions are made, huge decisions that impact the business. They're knowing that IT can help and they're consulting IT. And IT has more of a stake. It's not let's rely on IT to keep the lights on type of mentality. That's the big shift we've seen with cloud. And if Kim brings me back my presentation, and here is just another example. Instead of the, you know, the leader in IT making that transition, this is the IT strategy role. So instead of relying on IT and saying, you know what, we want to keep IT as is, we're going to move in this IT strategy role that is going to do the brokering on behalf of IT and report dotted line both to the business leaders, reports to the CEO, but dotted line to everybody else, both in IT and in business units. So maybe some businesses didn't have the right person in IT to take that extra step, but they created that IT strategy role that can be that person. And the IT manager, IT director kept their same position. And so at this point, I want to call up Naomi Moneypenny. Chances are, if you've been here since Monday, or some even Sunday, you've seen Naomi. Because I went into the system and counted, and she was in over 10 different activities, whether it was scheduled activities, whether it was breakout sessions, panels, hub talks. Mm-hmm. You just decided to do them all.
That's right.
And she's one of our great partners, great customers, and knows a thing or two about IT and IT transformation. So first I'll let you introduce yourself, and then I want to ask you a few questions.
Sure. That's great. Thanks so much. So very excited to be here and talk to you a little bit about the journey that we've had. I am the Chief Technology Officer at ManyWorlds, and that's my real job, and not just all of the other things that I talked about this week. And really, one of the things that I've been looking at over the last 10 years or so has really been our journey to the cloud. So we went from a completely on-premises environment, right, that we're all very familiar with, even our Yammer acquisition, basically looking at the environment that we have now inside of Yammer. We paid for that because we retired Exchange on-prem servers, right? This is way before Microsoft even acquired that technology. And for us, we are a research and development company, and so we've really concentrated on being able to move a lot of servers to the cloud, but also moving to consuming services in the cloud. And I think that's a big step for a lot of organizations. So one of the things that we've really looked at is the difference between what we want to consume from an infrastructure basis and what you want to consume on a services level. And I know we've talked a lot today about Office 365 as a service, right? We want to think very discreetly about what are you doing from a virtualization perspective. You may be virtualizing on-prem right now. You may be co-locating your servers in a data center. You may still be running something in a data center yourselves. You may be then looking at how you actually go into that hybrid environment, but it's actually on a services basis, right? You may be looking at SharePoint that's a service you're consuming in Office 365. You may still be running those servers on-prem, but actually having a hybrid environment around it. So it's really looking at all of those different levels and the transition from how you manage that in IT, because very traditionally, as Mike and Kim had outlined, you're really looking at things from an application basis, and then you had infrastructure people, right? And then suddenly, in this messy hybrid world, applications and infrastructure get all wound up together, right? Yeah. And so it's a big transition for all of us. So I'll let you
Thanks, Naomi. Questions. Well, just a few to kind of talk to some points that we were making earlier. So have you witnessed, like, with all your experience, different roles within IT popping up, or organizations that had to, you know, do real transitions, whether it is a reorg or restructure of IT, or users, you know, maybe some ITIs just finding great new opportunity? I mean, can you share some experiences
sure.
on that?
So I think there's a lot of differences in there, right? That's I think what you were talking about earlier in terms of having a strategic role, right, of what's going on inside of technology. Because actually partnering inside of the business, even though we've said those words for a long time in IT, it's actually becoming a real thing, right? It's becoming a thing that actually drives benefit inside of our companies. So having somebody that's in charge of advanced technology or innovative technology, you may have that role already inside of your organization, but now suddenly becomes a whole different ball of wax because it actually becomes part of what you do every day, right? Before, we tried to isolate a lot of times the innovation or the advanced technology, and now those folks are basically in a continuous deployment type of cycle back to the regular IT department. And so the shift I've seen there has really been looking at, from an applications perspective, the folks who have skills that you had traditionally on-prem, even folks who are in AD, for example. So if you had a lot of Active Directory skills, you have a lot of SQL Server skills, those kind of skill areas. suddenly those skill sets have to get a lot faster and a lot quicker because they're up into a whole different cloud environment. So if you look at Azure AD, even if you're still running domain controllers on-prem, it's one of the things you have to look at. And then you're looking at how do I then take all of these cloud logins for all these other six services that you're running on top of Office 365 and run those through your Azure AD and still have that level of security. So the morphing of those roles and the expanding of those roles into supporting what is DevOps, basically that continuous automation of infrastructure and services, I think that's really very challenging across many roles.
So you talked about needing to teach our IT pros new skills. Mm-hmm. What about soft skills? I mean, is that something that you see is in demand from IT organizations that you've been in or worked with? Mm-hmm. And what are most of the customers you've dealt with doing about that problem, going more customer-centric, getting the soft skills?
Yeah, and I think that's the big challenge, right? A lot of us went into IT because we love to work with technology and computers, right? When we were back in school, a long time ago for me. But we love to work with technology. And the joke is really now, our jobs have never really been as much about people instead of technology. And so looking at some of those change management skills, understanding project management skills, how to interface with the business, and most importantly, I think, how to explain to your business users the art of the possible with IT, right? A lot of it is understanding what businesses can actually achieve and what you can actually do with a lot of this new technology, especially in the office environment, but any of the technologies you may be evaluating. And so I've seen a lot of challenges in there in terms of, yes, you need to learn PowerShell skills, but you also need to learn a lot of change management skills. And it's also very important then to partner with other parts of your business that may be other service organizations. So you may have HR, you may have corporate communications, really partnering with those sides of the business who historically have those change management skills or are good at rolling out campaigns that actually involve behavioral changes for your employees.
Awesome. Well, we could certainly spend a lot more time listening to you. However, I know we're out of time, and we are keeping you from our Expo happy hour, and I know a lot of you probably want to go attend that. So we are available, instead of asking questions on the mics, we're available up front. If you do have questions, come on up. We'll be around for 5-10 minutes. But at this point, we will conclude. And Naomi, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And thanks for attending.
Thank you.